six-ish. The line is coming in. I'll warn you here in a second.
And to all the ladies, peace and humpiness forever.
Pick a meteorologist and a meteorologist. They've all been warning you most of the morning. If you follow them on Twitter, Margaret Orr is just the very latest. It's between Lake Charles and Lafayette, the line. It's going to get here around the first bits of it fours, but the line is really going to be here like 5:15, 5:30-ish. 60 to 70 mile an hour gusts. So,
was this the bomb cyclone that they were supposedly talking about?
It's coming here. Gotcha. Behind this, this is not the cold front. Behind this, the circulation is pulling the cold front down. So tomorrow, you'll have northern winds. This is going to be like west-southwest sort of winds. Then you're going to have northwest winds. Tomorrow, that's your cool front. That's when you're going to have beautiful, like low 70s, 60s for the evening, Saturday, Sunday. See a humidity for the weekend. It's going to be awesome.
Well, that's what they said last time, and then it lasted for a day and a half. But I'll believe it when I see it.
But this will be 2 days. This will be 2 days. It's going to be better tomorrow. But, yeah, just so you know, though, in all honesty, all joking aside, in about 3 hours, the weather's going to get yucky here. So be careful if you're leaving work, you know, pay extra attention, all those other stuff. I mean, my wife has some coworkers leaving a little bit earlier that live on the North Shore. So if you travel the causeway and you have high crosswinds and stuff, sometimes they shut that down. So keep an eye on it before you leave. We all have smartphones. You have a weather app and you have a maps app. Tap it. It tells you the traffic. Red is not good. Yellow is slow. Green, you're good.
So, unfortunately, I don't know where there is green in this city at this point.
I understand, but for the most part, I'm just trying to help you. As you're leaving or if you're driving around this time, just look at it. Because my wife always do that. She's like, I didn't know. So I'm like, you have ass. Like, just open the app. All right. Anyway, Maddie, why did you watch the 13-10 Saints win back on Monday? A win is a win. Shelve it. Move on. Why did you go back?
If you try to say anything kind of meaningful about a 13-10 win with one scoring touchdown on the night, it's a little hard to kind of parse meaningful takeaways away from that first watch. And I was a little distracted by Drew Brees being very distracted by the state of this offense in the fourth quarter, so I really had to rewatch that one.
So let's kind of go back and forth with some of the things that you take away, and obviously, I think, and I said this going out of the bye, that the next quarter of games, until Michael Thomas came back, until the offensive line was fully intact, and then you have to give it time to learn and play with one another and all that stuff, the defense was just, and I'm just starting to think now, I think it's safe to say, Maddie, 2021, this team will be known as a defensive team. If they make the playoffs, defense will lead the way, right?
Yeah, I mean, regardless of you know, the state of the offense by the end of the season, I think any, you know, playoff aspirations at this point are all due to the defense, who's really held this down while the offense is trying to find its way with the pieces that it has.
So what's interesting is when you look at that side of the ball, this was hard for me. Who was the MVP or game ball given to on Monday? Because Alvin Kamara was the entire Saints offense. 20 carries, 10 receptions, 128 yards in the air, 51 on the ground.
Yeah, and 10 of the 19 receptions on the night.
Which we'll get to on how embarrassing that is. And on the defensive end,
it's Demario Davis. I mean,
he's a monster. I mean, I tweeted, he's just a man. Like, and I know that you were playing with men, but he did. That was an incredible. It reminded me of the Pittsburgh Steelers primetime game in which TJ Watt said, I'm winning the game.
Yep.
I mean, he did, right? In the last drive, the play where he shoved the left guard straight back into the running back so hard and violently that it literally looked like the guy's knees gave out. Like, I thought he blew his knees out. And then when they showed, and you look at the replay, I'm like, oh, Demario Davis just bench pressed a left guard into the backfield and took down a running back.
That he did, and he also broke up a two receiver intended target pass to end the game on that 4th and 28. That was quite frankly a little too close to being successful for my liking. But when Ralph was on here the last time, we were talking about what was our MVP, Demario Davis or Marshawn Lattimore, and we kind of went Lattimore on a game basis. That game was all Demario Davis.
All right, so look, those two guys absolutely stood out. And I understand it, a 13-10 win, but at the end of the day, it is a win and you find a way to win. You don't apologize for it because other teams don't find ways. And I think that's a sign of a good team to find a way to do it. I thought it was interesting from this standpoint. Everyone after the game said they expected a game like this. It almost felt like everyone that covered the team was like, what's going on? The Seattle defense is terrible. They shouldn't be this good. But if you listen to the players, they all thought, coach said it, they all thought this was going to be a one possession, you know, bloodbath to just escape.
Well, I was just going to say, and it almost kind of in a way reminds me, not to equate the two at all, but the Denver Broncos game that we'll always bring
keeps
up.
Coming up, yeah.
But that was the whole thing with that game, was a conservative game plan and one turnover could be the end of the game. And you know, Adam Trautman kind of made that close to a reality towards the end of the game. So, I thought this was initially a game that kind of, you know, matched up well with Jameis Winston and testing against that secondary. But in the weather and the receiving corps that he has at this point, that was clearly not going to win this football game, even if, you know, Tre'Quan Smith caught the, you know, two dropped passes that he caught. There was just still no passing game happening at all. And then again, to go back to that, just one, you know, turnover margin could be the end all be all. If the defense can hold like the way it has, and it's been 6 weeks and they've had, you know, a couple of problematic, you know, performances that they've very quickly cleaned up to where I don't think I can ever remember when I've been comfortable watching the Saints and you know, the defense is holding to 10 points and 13 points seems reasonable, but it kind of did.
Yeah. And so the things that were on the good end and spectrum there as well, DeMario, 10 tackles. Maddie, the last time you were in his studio, we talked about Pete Werner and how good he's played. DeMario Davis last weekend spoke specifically about him. I thought he was just a healthy enact. Quan Alexander actually did play.
Yeah.
He had a tackle. He registered a tackle. He didn't start.
No. And he didn't play that much in
comparison either. Quan Alexander is your depth. Because you saw the impact that Quan has on this team. Like, it's night and day. He made DeMario Davis better. Well, Maddie, DeMario Davis was a monster in that game against Seattle. So what does that say about Pete Werner?
It says that, again, we kind of all ate our words on that draft night and these prospects and their ability to evaluate talent. It's what you want, right? You want your rookies to, you know, kind of play out those aging veterans, but I don't think anyone necessarily expected Pete Werner to kind of command that role so soon. But, this is kind of the best linebacker core for the Saints that I can remember in a long time. I mean, Werner's in the top 15 overall linebackers in the league right now in defense on PFF. He's in the top 15 on run defense, top 10 in tackling, and top 15 in coverage. So that alone, from your rookie second-round linebacker that was kind of expected to contribute in a you know, room of Caden Ellis, Zach Bond, and Quan Alexander, it's been the Pete Werner show.
Along those lines, that's the team's second-round draft pick. The team's third-round draft pick has been just as spectacular. Four tackles, three of them solo. He had a tackle, he had a pass. That's Paulson Adebo.
Yeah, he had the best run defense.
When we're sitting here saying the defense is leading the team and the first-round draft pick has had zero impact, and again, that's not picking on Paige.
Right.
He's been hurt.
Right.
Like, get healthy
right.
somehow, some way. But when you think of that aspect of it, oh my goodness, we may be looking back, because I think Peyton Turner's good. I do. We may look back at this draft and go, oh wow, the next phase transition foundation of the Saints being a defensive team.
I was going to say, yep.
May come from this draft. Because if that guy turns out, because at some point, and Maddie, I'm not being ugly, Cam's closing in on the end.
I mean, he's been in the league for over a decade.
I'm not being ugly. I love the guy.
I mean, there has to be a contingency plan.
And it's Peyton Turner and Marcus Davenport.
Exactly.
And that's where I want to go into next. Marcus Davenport seems to be somebody that everyone has written something about this week.
There's been two kind of things with Davenport. It's the health, which still is there, but then people kind of felt like he never really grew into that role. You know, he has all of the characteristics, right, but he doesn't have the bend kind of thing. The technique and the want and the power are all there in spades. I mean, it's the best I've seen him, you know, as a player and having his leverage and really, like, you know, working on his coaching and technique and stuff like that. But, I mean, even if he can't stay healthy, it almost kind of justified that draft pick, seeing how much of a difference he made last night. Mm-hmm. Not just in what he was able to do. What did the defense get? 5 sacks? Did I get that correctly?
5, yeah.
Yeah, there's been no pass rush all season. All. I don't think that's
a
coincidence.
That was one of my keys. Can you get
whatsoever.
The ace sack? And Cam Jordan did get one. Look, I think getting David Onyemata is going to be a massive help for those ends there as well. You can't double them as much. And I do think you saw it. And look, you saw that whether it's NASCAR, heavy, jumbo, big boys, whatever you want to call them, you saw Tassanow.
I was going to say, shout out Tano Passignan as well. Because
He was in the middle. He was a defensive tackle.
See? Yeah, so, I noticed that.
So they're putting in, and Cam Jordan said, I'd love 4 D linemen. Well, when Peyton Turner comes back, I promise you, fourth quarter, third down, Bucks, whoever, if the playoff game, maybe later, I promise you'll see Jordan, Turner, Davenport, and maybe even Passanow.
I think he's earned it. I think he was one of the quieter offseason signings, and I noticed he did play a lot of defensive tackle and defensive end over in Kansas City. They draft similarly based on prototype. Passanow kind of might be that steal for me. You could also see him working really well with Davenport in tandem. Just Davenport's presence getting me excited about the pass rush. Just his presence alone made such a difference, especially when you consider, you know, not in a bad way, but Quan didn't necessarily, you know, make this huge impact on return because he didn't necessarily need to. And then, you know, there was Traquan Smith on the other side of the ball who didn't perform up to expectations. But Davenport not just played up to expectations, he elevated the entire position group allowed them really to start getting at the quarterback. So
Ralph Marbrower is ready. He says he wants to chime into the conversation. We'll take a quick break. It's Gus Kangel, Maddie Hudak. You can follow her over on Twitter at Maddie Hudak _ 94. I'll remember that because that's when I graduated high school. I'm old. I'm old. Is that when you were born?
Yeah.
I don't know. Jordan was 98.
Jordan
was
also
4.
Still in college.
That was 4. I know. It's just, anyway. All right, quick break. We come back. Ralph Marbrower next on ESPN New Orleans. 3, 4. This is going to be the best day.
This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Ashley Barrios and Cutoff, State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs. The Saints landed late Tuesday afternoon, and today they're focusing their attention on Tampa Bay as they get back to practice. No doubt the Bucs will show running back Alvin Kamara a similar defense Seattle showed him in the second half.
And I was saying it to Bobby, I'm like, dang, y'all doubling me, come on, like, give me some space. But, I mean, that's what any smart defense does, and then, you know, you got Pete Carroll over there. They know what to do, they adjust, and they adjusted second half and kind of blocked that up for me. So, I mean, it opens up other things, though, so it's all good.
So the receivers are going to have to help out Sunday. Fourth-year wideout Traquan Smith, we're talking to you. After lining up incorrectly Monday, cameras caught Jameis Winston having words with him.
Just communication. We had to be on the same page, and that's it.
It was Smith's first game back this season, and Winston had this to say when asked, how long does he think it'll take for them to get on the same page?
I think it's just a feel. You know, this is his first game, tough environment to play. Just making sure that everyone hears the play correctly. And everyone is on the same page. But in terms of talent and execution, like he's just an incredible receiver. So it was good to get him back. Good to get him a good experience against a tough defense.
Tampa Bay is a 5-point favorite. Kickoff set for 3:25. For more on the Black and Golds, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Ashley Barry Austin Cutoff. State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs.
I was surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm, with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I think that it's ongoing. It's good looks last night. Some real good looks. I didn't think we played as well at receiver last night as I would have hoped. And I thought you know, we had separation. You know, it's a soft zone team if you're looking at it, you know, and so at times you have to come underneath to your check downs, your underneath patterns. But, you know, it's a work in progress. We'll continue to grind on it.
Ralph Marmbrough at Saints Forecast joins Matty Hudak, who's just smiling from ear to ear right now. And I have my hands on the top of my head, Ralph. Since you're a wordsmith and you write for WBL TV, describe the Saints receiving performance by the receivers on Monday.
I feel like we need to give them a break because doing things in the rain is difficult.
Oh, stop.
Like trying to drive a car or read a book or catch a football. Like part of me wants to give them a break because it was raining sheep. But on the other hand, I'm like, can somebody catch a pass? And I'm fighting with people on Twitter. They're like, oh, this receiver, he's no good. I'm like, at this point, bring in Willie Steve. At this point, get Eric Martin from the 1990s off the golf course and let him take a whirl at it. These receivers are so frustrating. It's driving me crazy.
The issue is they're all wide receiver 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's not one wide receiver 1 out there, and so they can't really perform when they literally don't have a serviceable person.
And we're not being ugly.
No.
I mean, let's be honest. Look, here's the thing, and I know Winston gets a lot of criticism for this and that decision-making and being consistent, but in a game like that where it's being played out like that, where it's going to be, if you score a touchdown, it's ball game, right? I mean, you kind of got that sense of feel in the second half. And he makes two tremendous deep ball throws that hit receivers in the hands. You got to make those catches. It's the NFL. I mean, that's how you look at it, right, Ralph?
I mean, kind of, but like, has Kevin White ever caught a pass in the NFL?
I didn't know who he was. I'm just being honest. That's what I'm saying. I literally went.
I think this conversation says enough about the receiving.
But you know what, Maddie, whose fault is that though? Because I know Saints Nation and Ralph, you know this. You maybe even yourself for the last 3 years. Have been begging for a wideout to be drafted. They have said, at least go get one in free agency. They found Emmanuel Sanders, but then he couldn't afford him. So, quite honestly, I'm not surprised. Everybody I know that covers the Saints, watches the Saints, tweets about the Saints, has been begging for receiving help.
Well, here's the thing. I know, Maddie, you're like me. You're on Team Chaos on the internet.
I don't want chaos.
So, like, I'm trying to dream up, like, what trade, like, you know, the gif of Elmo with the flame
fire
him?
yeah
like, that's what I want that trade to become that emoji to become a trade in real life. So I've got it. I cooked it up today. The Saints trade with the Texans a fourth round pick for Brandon Cooks and Mark Ingram. Let's just break the internet and solve all the Saints problems at one time. Who's against?
I can't disagree with you from this aspect of it. While Brandon has not been able to stick with the team, and that speaks volumes, he's caught the balls, and he still has athleticism and speed. And right now, Ralph, you need guys that can get open and stuff and make some catches. And
a running back behind Alvin Kamara.
Well, you brought up Ingram in terms of tight end. What do we do here? Look, Juwan Johnson was open. If Jameis gets him the ball, he scores a touchdown. So I think he's fine. But are we talking about the need for a number one tight end? Are we ready to say that Adam Trautman is not it, Maddie?
I think that I'm willing to give tight end a little more of a pause considering they were the ones that were the most moderately successful in that game. I think that, if, again, there was receivers around them and this wasn't whoever can be the most competent person on the field, that position group might look a lot less weak in the long run. So I'm really, the receiver to me is more paramount because Trautman's getting better at blocking and Johnson, I think, can remain a receiving threat. They just need to get him involved.
Ralph, you on Team Maddie with this?
I'm on Team Maddie kind of. The more I think about it, though, I was reading Nick Underhill today, and he was breaking down plays. The thing is, like, that game, we feel like it's terrible, but imagine if, like, one of those passes that you guys had said that was dropped, if one of those gets caught, and they had a play where Trautman was wide open and Jameis just didn't throw it to him and scrambled. If he hits that play for Trautman for a touchdown and one other big play, like, we're feeling completely different
in
the Seattle game, right? But I just feel like the Saints, the thing that they need the most to me is they need a running back that can take this load off of Kamara, whether it's Taysom coming back, hopefully, but that concussion looks really bad. Because here's the thing. I've been making jokes about Carolina running McCaffrey to the ground. I started that after two, right. And it happened, and he got hurt, and they are in the ditch, probably not
second straight season.
The Saints they can't have Alvin Kamara doing 30 touches a week. I know people hate, like, we always laugh at, like, corporate events. You guys probably have go to them where they give you the corporate speak. Like, that business plan, it ain't sustainable. Like, they got to reduce that to a reasonable number, because it's just not going to last. And the thing is, like, those touches against Seattle, Maddie and Gus, they were hard touches. They weren't he caught a pass and, like, made a business decision and went out of bounds and got 11 yards, or right. made the business decision and got 8 yards. Those were between the tackle, hard touches, and it's just they got to do something. Whether it's Tony Jones coming back or hopefully Taysom, like, they got to reduce his number by like 5 to 8 a game. And if Tony Jones isn't going to be back with the ankle, and they're unsure about Taysom, you got to do something at running back, whether it's Ingram, whether it's Marlon Mack, something, because it's not going to last. Kamara's going to be burned out by Thanksgiving.
It kind of happened in 2018 or 19, I think, when he took that load over when Bridgewater was a starter, and then he kind of had those lingering injuries with the knee for the rest of the season. And I was kind of thinking the exact same thing, Ralph, as I was seeing those hits against Seattle. I'm like, these are not softballs. I'm with you on the alarm bell.
So along the lines as well, too, guys, as we wrap up, and it was Monday, so we're already on Wednesday. They don't practice today. I think that's smart by Sean Payton. You know who the Bucs are. I mean, it's the same team essentially from last year, so I think it's actually a smart move for Sean to get your body right. You know what you have to do. But it's absolutely going to be a storyline. It's you-know-who facing you-know-who.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jameis facing Tampa here. And look, one of the things we saw in that game on Monday is what some callers keep referring to. I think he's hesitant because he's afraid to make mistakes instead of just going out there and just playing the game. And I almost feel like when you face this team, I've already said it, Ralph and Maddie, Superdome specials, Kamara's throwing a pass, and you just got to honestly tell Jameis if it's a three-interception game, it's a three-interception game. Go make plays. Because if you go in there acting with this receiving core, like you're just going to do a normal game plan, Devin White's taking away Kamara, and the Bucs are going to beat you by 40. So I just think it's going to be that kind of game. I almost think this might be the game he needs to just go out there and try to be a Superman and just play freely. I just feel like I'm watching Jameis second guess himself on every single read right now.
But wouldn't you?
I hear you. I don't know. What do you see, Ralph, with Jameis?
I think I agree with you guys. I'll disagree with the Tampa game. The Saints defense wrecked Tom Brady.
Yep, pass rush.
Times last year. Wrecked him 3 times. Now, I know they don't have Trey Anderson, but they're going to have Davenport back. And even in that playoff game, the Saints lost. Tom Brady was kind of duty in that game. Like, he was only 18 of 33. Like, the Saints, they are a bad matchup for Tampa because they can cover Tampa. And the thing is, like, the Saints defense, it's the same, I think. You can argue it's better. And if Antonio Brown doesn't play for Tampa, they're kind of the same. So I think the Saints, they can slow Tampa. The thing with the Saints is they got to have Deontay Harris or they got to have Taysom. They got to have it.
Yep.
They got to have at least one of them.
At least one.
Deontay Harris, he can cook. He did in the playoff game. Or if you have Taysom, he can help you on third and short in the red zone. But if you don't have either of them, ooh, it gets dicey. I think the Saints didn't at the end
of that game because Harris went out early and you saw what happened.
Sounds like Ralph is feeling something on Sunday here on Halloween. Ralph, what are you dressing up with that first, and then what do you see Sunday?
Well, my 6-year-old son is going as a dinosaur. I'm going as Godzilla. So that's going to be fun. Okay. But the problem is the time for the Saints game, it's 3:30. That is horrible timing for people with kids. Mm-hmm. Little kids, like right in the heart of trick or treat time. The NFL did not do me any favors with that. But I think the Saints can win. I really do. I think Tom Brady's due for a stinker, and the national media will be stunned, and they'll just talk it up like they did with Green Bay. They'll pretend like when the Saints housed Green Bay, they'll just pretend that it never happened and move it along.
I'm with you. I think we see that second revenge game more than the first. This one is just kind of get the win and get out of Dodge. And Winston's still the winner there, especially if he doesn't have to beat him by barely doing anything at all. Then who's the victor in that situation?
I want Jameis to beat the Bucks so bad because he's so goofy and so fun. Like, if he beats
I do Tampa, honestly want him to, yeah.
And it might do a lot for him, in his confidence in himself as well, just kind of being able to get that demon out.
I agree. Like, Ralph, go ahead.
Jameis throws 5 touchdowns Sunday, and on the sideline, he breaks out a bag of crab legs. Come on, let's break the internet.
At Saints Forecast, the way to follow Ralph Marbro. You can check out his writings as well over there at WLTV.com. And, of course, the podcast at Saints Happy Hour. Thank you, Ralph. We'll talk again next Wednesday.
All right, guys.
By the way, it's Falcon Week next week. Let's get good. Falcon Week, Bama, and L. No, it's not. I can't even try to make that game exciting.
Which next one? Weekend.
LSU at Bama.
Oh.
That's
going to Why?
Be. Oh. I could have said something I won't.
I know.
I'll tell you off the air. Sports Hangover continues next with Jimmy on ESPN New Orleans. Oh, 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 oh,
what a day to feel alive. Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Do you know that Rouse's Markets has their own digital coupons? Digital coupons are coupons that you can access online. Get offers for your favorite national brands at www.rouses.com and redeem them at any Rouse's Markets. With Rouse's Markets digital coupons, there's no need to keep track of paper coupons anymore. Everything is online. Just present your phone number at checkout. Digital coupons. Just one more way you save shopping at Rouse's Markets.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in first comprehensive sports medicine program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
At Maddie Hudak underscore 94 is the way to follow Maddie. You can read her latest. What's it titled over there in Saints Wire? What's it titled?
What's
it titled, the latest piece?
Saints offense trends critically down in week 7 win versus Seattle.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it. Yeah, that's kind of about right there. Head coach Sean Payton spoke yesterday, literally right after they landed from Seattle. They stayed overnight, flew all afternoon. Maddie will touch that here in a quick second as we bring in Jimmy from the Best Bank on. You know, I mean, you literally spend all day traveling.
I've made that trip
on a short day, so I can see why they didn't practice today. Jimmy, what you got, man?
Hey, Gus. Yeah, congratulations to your Golden State. Oh, your Golden Eagles. Your Southern Miss Golden Eagles for that Sun Belt outfit. That's going to be good for them.
But no,
hey, look, listen. Yeah, you still got Frank Gore Jr. No transfer portal for him. That's good. Yeah. Look, I talk about the New Orleans sports landscape here. The secondary market for tickets. I'm looking at the Pelicans right now. I'm not going to name what website, but $2, Gus, $2 to buy $2. A ticket to the game tonight on ESPN at home. I know it's going to be raining, but what does that say? Now, I'm looking also at the Brady versus Saints Halloween game, $60 you can get in there. Now, is this due to the new expectations for the new Saints post-Drew Brees? I mean, we are 4-2. We might make the playoffs. We might not. I mean, right now it looks like we might. You would think with Tom Brady coming, you know, I don't know, Halloween, the higher price. Now, I bring all that up. Look, the Pelicans, we know it's been hard to get people in the arena. But, man, $2? Gus, I mean, what does that tell you? And is the demand down for the Saints games or the Pelicans games due to the vaccine protocols, or is this due to just new expectations, or is this going to affect the Pelicans long term? And who's going to take over the Pelicans after Gail passes? Because she recently said, we got to plan long term for the Saints. But I didn't hear much about the Pelicans, and I know Seattle and Vegas want a team. So I just, like, it's a bad look on ESPN tonight if we have a more than half-empty arena. And I want to get your take on that.
I mean, Zion Williamson is out. It's a Wednesday. Like you said, it's bad weather, and I think there's a little Monday night fatigue perhaps from Saints fans, which I think dominate this landscape. I wouldn't read too much into this early on attendance, again, with this star player being out of the lineup.
I'll also say this as far as the future, but I keep saying, I don't know how many times, so just Google it or go to Fox 8 website. Lee Zurich sat with Gail Benson, and it was like a four-part thing the week she announced her succession plan. One of them dealt specifically with the Pelicans and Jimmy in particular. Not only is she not selling, both franchises, whoever then buys them when she, you know, gets called up to the pearly gates, she says the prerequisite or you have to keep them in the city.
Yeah.
Period. It's in the contract. It's going to be written in the will. At least that first owner is going to be required to do that. With the Saints, they're trying to secure a lease that right now is on the table through 2032 to be longer, to make sure, even sure. That's from Dennis Lauscha. And they're looking into how they're going to redevelop and redo the arena or build a new one. You're not doing that if you're not keeping your NBA team. And for the people, don't stop, hang up the phone, don't call me, but they're not winning, don't build it. It has zero bearing on if your team is winning or not on a new facility. Zero. It's all of the other stuff it brings and
also
what kind
the team
of money
won.
It can bring. Yeah. And it, but again, you can't look at it and say, well, the Pels aren't winning championships, you'll need a new arena. They have concerts, they have wrestling, they have all kinds of things in those places. And yes, at some, again, you don't sell a billion-dollar franchise. You fire and hire someone that can run it better.
Yeah.
Okay? And B, I know you love your things here in New Orleans. It's very hard for people to let go. That arena is the worst in the NBA. It's not a very good arena for anything, to be honest with you. So, I'm not being ugly. I don't like the design. I don't like the architecture. It has no tie to the city. It doesn't look good at all. The coloring was awful. The reason they picked the coloring and that skin was because of gunshots. Literally, they wanted to stop bullets from being able to penetrate the skin. I'm not kidding you. It's small. You can't add to it the structure and the way and the architecture is. So just deal with it and live with it and don't go, well, you got to win. No, you don't.
Anyways.
Yeah, anyway, I just saying, the Hawks, by the way, did win for a very long time, redid their arena, after built a new one. They were in the Omni for, right? They built a new one, redid that one recently to where it's like basically like a club, and now they're winning. Again,
it has zero correlation.
It has no bearing on it. You want your structure on it. Earl, thank you for giving us a call here, sir. How are you?
Hey, Goose.
What's up?
I wish you had Maddie on. More, man. It's nice to hear from her.
Thank you.
Just FYI there, Goose. I like the voice.
It's not my doing, Maddie. Whenever you want to come in, you're
understood.
There you go.
I like Maddie better. Hey.
That's all the time we have for Uncle Earl here. No, I get it. I get it. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Goose, I'm with Maddie, man. Look, I think this defense for the game coming up, I know the line's 5 and it goes up a little more. I get a little nervous because Vegas is usually pretty good. But I think you're going to see lights out with this defense, man. I really think it's going to be a fourth-quarter game. And would it be crazy if – I don't know if this is going to happen or not. If we happen to win some kind or another in the playoffs, if we had to go to Tampa Bay and return the favor, kind of what they did us last year, that would be kind of, you know, icing on a cake for us. I don't know if that could happen or not, but – Do y'all guys know how banged up the secondary for the Bucks are? Because I know they hurting on the corners. Are them guys are still out for this game on Sunday? Do they have any big key injuries?
Well, today you'll get the injury report.
Yeah.
And I did see a photo already of a Buccaneer reporter showing Antonio Brown standing with a crutch. So he had an ankle injury last week. So it's Wednesday if he's still on a crutch.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, they're secondary and their health to me isn't necessarily the key to this game. I think that honestly, just getting to Tom Brady and disrupting the pocket, and yeah, that's really the key for me here. I think whatever they manage to do on offense is going to be kind of a continuation of this survivalist game plan that we've seen. That might not, you know, again be flashy and the funnest Winston game against his old team, but it's a game plan that's been working so far, and the pass rush is finally starting to take off. And like you said, that last time we played them, they got rattled very easily in that aspect. And to me, that game really shouldn't have been as close as it was when you consider the health and the state of the Saints team when they went into that divisional round. So I'm not overly confident, but I don't think this game comes down to the offense for the Saints.
No, Maddie, I totally agree with you. It's not a second guess of myself on that, like how many times we actually threw the ball, and who the hell is going to catch the damn ball downfield anyway. I don't care what cornerback you got back there, but I think the defense is going to have to pretty much win the game for us. The punter is going to be the key. I love our punter. We're going to have to flip the field, keep a short field, and get some turnovers. And man, hey guys, have a great week. And Maddie, appreciate you being on again. We'd love to have you.
Thank you, Earl. Appreciate that.
Essentially, the only reason the ratings work. No, I'm kidding. No, you know you have an open door here, especially. She does football right now. You're tired. You know, you got a lot of things to do. Open door, you know that. You know what? That has really nothing to do with Saints news. It has to do with the fact that the city of New Orleans, though, gave out some news. The state yesterday, the governor, lifted the mask mandate, which is always nice. Believe me. He lifted the mask mandate, yes. But, of course, the city of New Orleans.
On purpose?
Let's see. Yes, on purpose. Because the numbers are doing well. This is a good thing, Maddie. Well, the city of New Orleans just tweeted, literally 3 minutes ago, due to significant improvements in COVID-19 metrics caused by strong vaccination rates and the vaccine/test mandate, city of New Orleans will suspend the citywide mask mandate for most public places. So let me break it down for you. Indoor mask mandate lifted for most public places. Still required. You need a mask for public transportation, healthcare facilities, early childhood, elementary, and secondary educational institutions. So your high schools and your grammar schools in Orleans. Still, JP, Jefferson Parish, is looking into it. The Archdiocese this morning said, you're done. Don't need a mask. So if you go to a Catholic school, no mask required there. Now, she also asked that,
curious
or says,
if that correlates with the Saints games starting.
Well, that's what I was going to say. She also tweeted 3 minutes ago, or the city did, proof of vaccine or negative COVID test within 72 hours will continue to be required for entry at certain businesses. Now, there's no, you know, list. I'm clicking on it to see if the Dome, the arena, do that. So this is called modified phase 3 is where we are right now. So let's see. Mask required. Indoor entertainment and performance spaces, you still need a vaccine. So indoor sports complexes, stadiums, and arenas.
I'm sure the Saints will make a statement
on
this either
way. But that's not mask. If I'm reading this right.
Right, well, I mean, the city lifted the mandate, but a private company has
every right to enforce. No, I know, but what I'm saying is if I'm reading this right, again, I guess I can get in there Sunday and not have to wear my mask in the Dome now.
I wouldn't expect that again because it's not up to the city. It's the Saints that put those.
No, the city was the one that mandated the Dome to wear a mask.
Well, the Saints said in compliance with the mandates set by the city, but that means
that's what I'm saying. Right. She's lifted it.
But just because she lifts it doesn't mean that the Saints are going to.
But they're only following what she wants to do. I promise you the Saints don't, if the Saints fans don't want to do it, no one's, you know, so I don't know. I'm just reading by that. Again, this was just 3 minutes ago. I'm sure the follow-ups and the clarifications will try to come, but you still have to be vaccinated for live performances, concert halls, indoor space, stadiums, complexes, whatever. But it is not under the mask required. So I will try my best to make sure that, and I'm sure throughout the day and tomorrow, and you'll figure it out. The Saints will probably put something up.
They will absolutely.
Yeah. They will tweet something probably in the next hour. Yeah. Hey, for Sunday's game, you don't need a mask or you do need a mask. So still need to be vaccinated, though. Final break, final segment with Maddie next on ESPN New Orleans.
Imagine it, a first-class resort in Slidell on the lakefront called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. We're talking up to 250 rooms and St. Tammany's first real convention center, big enough for special events, weddings, or even Mardi Gras balls. Relax at the luxury spa, swimming pools, or drift in the lazy river. And listen to this. An outdoor amphitheater will bring major concerts to Slidell and get used for community events too, like graduations and farmers markets. Eat it up at 7 different restaurants, from casual to fine dining, even a brand new Slidell marina. Pull up in your boat and get in on the fun. Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Together, we make it happen by voting yes. Vote yes and the North Shore wins. Vote yes and we all win. Get more information at thenorthshorewinds.com. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
The devastation that was left behind will be in our hearts and minds forever. But our community has the most hardworking and loyal individuals than anywhere else. We are strong. We will rebuild. We will conquer. Golden Motors is open for sales, service, and parts to assist your needs. Arriving daily is your next brand new Chevrolet, Buick, or slightly used any maker model vehicle. Golden Motors. Price is priority. 985-325-1000 or visit us 24/7 at goldenmotors.com.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Mr. Jeff Duncan kind of answering the question there during the break. He just tweeted it out. Go ahead, Maddie. Give out the good news.
Per Jeff Duncan on Twitter, according to sources, starting Friday, masks will no longer be required at Pelicans and Saints games, with an official announcement expected soon.
So when the Pels take on Sacramento on Friday, you can spit on the person next to you.
Maybe don't do that.
Saturday against the Knicks. Will be nice and louder. And Sunday against the Tampa Bay Yuccas.
That's really keen timing, I'm not going to lie. I was just telling Gus that I think the masks mute the hoot at sound a little bit. It sounded a bit muffled. So that'll be in full swing in Halloween. Boot at, if you will.
Oh, see what you did there, boot at. Jack, what you got for us?
Hello, how y'all doing, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, first of all, with the Saints, I don't see how they can say they're actually trying to make the playoffs if they don't get Alvin Kamara some help, because he's just going to evaporate and fall into the ground. I mean, it's going to look like, you know, the Wicked Witch just evaporating. And, I mean, he's just going to break down.
To Maddie's point, she was making, Jack, real quick, just to come, they have every week brought somebody else in. Like, there has not gone a week where a new player has not come in. They signed another running back last week. They've signed receiving help. I mean, again, they brought up people from Kevin. They are trying. It's just, who's out there right now?
I also think it's worth mentioning a lot of the time that Kamara, I think, absorbs a lot of those hits in a way that some players don't, and that might make it look like he's taking these harder hits when really I think he has such good body control that he might be able to withstand. But, I mean, I agree with you in a long-term sense, but that also depends a lot on Tony Jones Jr., because that was kind of the game plan.
Well, what do y'all think the price is on Mac with the Colts? Because I've seen him a couple of times since he's come back, and he does look good, and he wants to get out of there.
I'm focusing on wide receiver if I'm looking at trades right now, just to be honest with you.
The fact that Willie Snead requested a release, and I'm not saying he's Michael Thomas, but the guy
he's not Kevin White either.
He can catch the ball, he can get open, and he was a third down guy when he was here. He was essentially the next incarnation of Lance Moore, play that sort of role. Now I don't know if he's, you okay? Yeah, my wife, same thing. Here's the thing. It's like, just need somebody that I think Sean can trust and somebody that's sort of been around. And look, he had a really nice season with the Ravens two seasons ago and stuff. He's just, and he's playing time and whatever the reason. if you're released and you're free, I mean, what I mean free is I don't have to trade for you. I'm at least bringing you in for a workout today.
No, I think his problem was Hunter Renfro and Darren Waller. I mean, there was no place to play him. You know, they control the middle of the field for the Raiders. But, guys, I just had one comment about the Pelicans. I was coming up Claiborne a few weeks ago, and I don't know how long this sign's been up, but you know, there's a giant Morris Bart sign that says official injury attorney of the New Orleans Pelicans. Does every NBA franchise have an official ambulance chaser? I mean, it's so distasteful. What is that?
It's called money.
Life. Field. Yeah.
But I mean, she's out there saying she has so much money, she can't figure out what to do with it. All right? You know, she doesn't have an heir to give it to. So you need that money? Guys, I know y'all can't comment, but my God, that's ridiculous.
I just don't even know how to comment on that. I mean, it's not that I can't. No one tells me I can't. I just, it's called a business opportunity unless it's a, look, I mean, he was in the running to try to be an owner.
Right.
Back in the day. So.
I mean, yes, it's a plaintiff law. It is too.
Look, I mean, she has her money that's based off of worth. At the same time, you have to cut the checks to the staff and the employees as well. So you have to do something to bring in money for that franchise, whether it's tickets, whether it's advertising, whether it's, you know, something, some way, shape or form to do that. So look, I mean, you got to sell the suites. I mean, you have to take in money somehow, some way, Jack. I mean, if not, then you're saying just because owners are worth $1 million or $1 billion, don't worry about seats. Don't worry about the suites. Don't worry about all the special stuff. That can't work that way. I mean, it's her net worth that has that, you know. Plus, if she just starts cutting checks out of her own bank account, it ain't going to last very long. Not when your NBA players are guaranteed money and stuff of that nature. So, no, I mean, I think it literally, to answer your question in a short way, it's just a sponsorship, you know. And unless it's a sponsorship that probably is disrespectful or something, like there's certain things that they probably wouldn't do a sponsorship with, right? But
I guess there's a line somewhere. I just don't know where it is.
Is there? I want to say the only reason it popped in my head is not because I go there. I didn't OnlyFans try to buy sponsorships.
What? How do we go from ambulance chasers?
Well, he's saying there's a line. I think certain companies of certain elk tried to buy sponsorships this past year or so.
I don't know why they wouldn't try with that. I know people were making six figures off that website, so I why not? As long as it's not a horrible company, I don't care.
Anything else, Jack? Hello, Jack. There he goes. I legitimately think it's big, massive news. So there you go. Mask mandate lifted inside of venues like sporting arenas and stuff of that nature. Still got to be vaccinated to get in. But Pelicans game Friday against Sacramento. Pelicans game Saturday against the Knicks. Saints game Sunday against the Buccaneers. Saints fans, you don't have to wear a mask. Now, you can if you like, but it's not required. So you can get out there and do that. I think some people, look, again, it's just another step. I know we did this already, and then it went the other way. Wash your hands. Still be smart about things, you know. Don't hover. I mean, just Stella, be smart. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, social distancing can remain.
Be smart about it. And like I said, it's almost become second nature to me, Maddie, with the hand sanitizer. I mean, it's always in my hand and do that. So easy enough. Follow Maddie on Twitter at MaddieHudak_94. As always, I appreciate the time. And good luck.
See you back after Halloween.
Yes. Are you ready for Halloween?
I am always ready for Halloween.
I love Halloween. All right, Matt Moscone after further reviews next on ESPN New Orleans.